Ready to break free from algorithms, vanity PR, and money-sucking ads? My name's Larissa Wurstiak, and I've learned in 7 years of jewelry marketing that content is the crown jewel. My agency, Joy Joya, takes a holistic approach, leading with laser-focused storytelling, impactful content creation, and strategic content distribution. This method has worked for the solopreneur as well as the multi-million-dollar company, and now I'm sharing the same systems and tactics with you. Here's to standing out in the sea of sparkle. Welcome to episode 280. Today, I want to share some strategies to help ease the pressure of meeting your e-commerce sales goals by instead zeroing in on more digestible metrics that can be tackled in bite-sized pieces. So I stumbled upon this method of achieving sales targets back in 2014, thanks to an article on BigCommerce's blog. Sadly, the article is no longer available, but I managed to save the e-commerce formula that they shared. And over the years, I've revisited this formula countless times because of its straightforwardness and its effectiveness in demystifying online sales. So consider this. You probably have a clear income goal in mind, but have you broken down what that goal means in terms of the website visitors you need, the conversion rates you need to be aiming for, and the average order value you should be targeting? So the essence of what I'm sharing today is this. If you're selling jewelry online, it's crucial to stay informed about your key e-commerce metrics. This doesn't mean you need to be an expert in Google Analytics or be a data guru. In fact, we're going to keep things simple. Our focus is going to be on the most impactful metrics and then devising marketing strategies that directly influence those metrics. But before we get to the solid gold, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this podcast has both audio and video, so you can either listen on your favorite podcast platform or watch on YouTube by searching Joy Joya. You can support the podcast for free by taking the time not only to subscribe, but also to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. All right, let's get into today's episode, my sparklers. This one's all about breaking down your big e-commerce sales goals for your jewelry business and making those goals feel completely achievable as long as you know the right levers to pull. Let's first talk about setting revenue goals. So first things first, in order for any of this to make sense, you need to set a revenue goal for the year. And the number you choose depends on so many factors like past performance, market conditions, and growth potential, among other things. And if you're starting completely from scratch, then the advice I'll be giving you about pulling levers may not completely apply to you because you may not have enough data to use my tips, but please bookmark them anyway for future reference because they'll be relevant before you know it. Anyway, here's a tip for those newbie business owners, just to hold you over in the meantime. It's better to set a conservative, attainable goal and exceed it than to set an overly ambitious target and fall short. So for a new e-commerce jewelry business, a modest goal considering profit margins after covering all costs could be a good starting point. So for example, aiming for a steady monthly increase in sales might be more practical than setting a high revenue target right away. Instead of focusing solely on an annual figure, break your sales goal into quarterly or monthly targets also, just for the sake of having it feel and seem more manageable, and then allowing you to adjust strategies as you learn what works best for your business. So again, that's my advice for the more newbie business owners out there who don't really have a revenue goal. If you've already been in business and you do have some data and sales under your belt, then you'll want to do the following. First, you'll want to analyze past sales data. So review your sales performance over the past year or years to identify trends, the peak seasons, and any growth patterns. And this analysis can really provide a baseline for setting your future revenue goals. You also can't look at this without considering the market conditions. So what does the market look like right now for the jewelry industry, including consumer spending habits, competition, e-commerce factors that may influence sales? This understanding can help you set more realistic goals. Also, evaluate your business capacity. So do you even have capacity for growth right now? Do you have the production capabilities, the supply chain logistics, the customer service, the marketing in place to support growth? If you're expanding too quickly without the infrastructure to support it, that will lead to problems. Of course, you want to set SMART goals. I've talked about this so many times on the podcast. That means specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based goals. So instead of saying, I want to increase sales, you would make it a SMART goal by saying, I want to increase revenue by 20% in the next 12 months through online sales and expanding our product line. And also, when you're thinking about your goals, account for new strategies. So if you're going to be introducing new products, if you're going to be entering new markets or increasing your marketing efforts, you need to factor all those things into your revenue goals. And these activities can significantly impact your ability to grow sales. All right. Now that I got that out of the way, I know you're asking the burning question. When you're setting a revenue goal, what is even a reasonable amount to aim for when you're trying to increase your sales? Well, a quote-unquote reasonable increase depends on so many things related to the specific context of your business. But here are some general guidelines. So for those small and emerging businesses, maybe you have some sales under your belt, you kind of know where you are right now. Because you're growing, because you have so much potential, aiming for a 20 to 25% increase, it might be a little bit ambitious, but it's achievable if you have the right strategies and market conditions. If you're a more established business and you've had years and years where the revenue stays kind of the same or it fluctuates based on like the economy, consumer spending habits, your own ability to produce products, then maybe you're not going to go for such an ambitious revenue increase. So 5 to 15% could be more realistic considering the larger base from which you're growing. But remember, these figures are general guidelines. So the most appropriate targets for your business will depend on your unique situation, including how long you've been in business, your current market share, and external economic factors. So always tailor your goals to align with your specific business, including the capabilities, the resources, and the strategic direction. So now that you've set your revenue goal, or maybe revisited the one you've already had for this year, how can you pull the levers and make that goal feel much more attainable by breaking it down into like smaller things you could be focusing on? So you should know first and foremost that all the metrics I'm about to mention in this part of the episode can easily be found in your Shopify Analytics dashboard and probably in the dashboard of any other e-commerce platform. So you don't even need to use Google Analytics to get this data if you feel overwhelmed by Google Analytics. Okay, so the first metric that you'll need to know is average order value, or AOV. And this represents the average amount of money each customer spends per transaction with your business. It's calculated by dividing the total revenue by the number of orders over a specific period. So first, I want you to pull your average order value for the entire previous calendar year and ask yourself, is the average order value aligned with your average price point? And if it's less than your average price point, then you may want to ask some questions about why that might be. Like, why aren't your customers shopping at your average price point? Are your prices too high? Are you not targeting the right customers? And if your average order is more than your average price point, then you may want to consider taking advantage of that by offering some higher ticket items, because it seems like your customers are open to spending. And now that you know your average order value, you'll be dividing your revenue goal, whatever that is for your business, by your average order value, because that number, assuming that your average order value can like stay the same for this year or similar, the number that you get by dividing revenue goal by average order value is the number of orders you'll need to get your revenue goal. And as you can imagine, if you pull the lever of average order value and you focus on marketing tactics that help you increase your average order value, then that number of orders will need to be less to hit your goal. So kind of playing around with that part of the formula can help you just understand, put it into concrete terms. How many orders is it actually going to take for me to get to my revenue goal? And knowing that can help you work backwards in your marketing and get you to implement the strategies you need to get there. And that's really the beauty of knowing the metric like AOV. You'll also want to know your conversion rate, which measures the percentage of visitors to your website who take a desired action out of the total number of visitors. And in our case, what we're talking about here, the desired action is to complete a purchase. Now, just so you know, the average conversion rate for luxury and jewelry stores is typically around 1.46%. And in my experience, I'd say anything between 1 to 2% is good to shoot for if you want to have a healthy conversion rate. So if you're not quite at 1% yet, then that's something to really work toward. So make sure you're looking at the conversion rate for the entire previous year, because in the jewelry industry, we know there are seasonal patterns and fluctuations, and we want to look at a full year to kind of take into account all those natural ebbs and flows that may happen. You'll also want to know how many website visitors you'll need to achieve to get the number of orders that will bring you to your sales goal. And yes, we need to use some basic algebra and solve for X in this formula, but it will really help you understand, again, well, this all seems kind of abstract. How do I know, based on my conversion rate that I have right now, based on my average order value, based on the revenue goal I do want to achieve, what is that going to look like in terms of how many website visitors I'm really going to need to get the numbers to where I want to be? So you're solving for X in this equation. X will be website visitors. You're going to multiply X by conversion rate and equal the number of orders. So X times the conversion rate equals the number of orders. And when you plug the numbers in, the conversion rate and the number of orders you'll need to get to your goal, and you solve for X, that formula should give you the number of website visitors you need. Hopefully I didn't lose you there. Depending on how happy you are with your conversion rate, like is it falling between 1 and 2%? Your average order value, is it in line with your average price point? And your website traffic, what could you be doing to increase that? Once you kind of see where you are a little bit behind and where you could be improving, and also realistically what it's going to take for you to reach your revenue goal, then you can pull the lever or levers that will help you move the needle. So in next week's episode, I'll actually do a part 2 follow-up of this to talk about the specific marketing tactics that will actually help you improve your conversion rate, your average order value, and your website traffic, so that in this episode, you can kind of get a sense of where you're doing well and where you could be improving, as well as what your revenue goal is. Next episode, I'll kind of help you with the tactics to pull all the levers that you need to be pulling. One more thing to think about, even though this doesn't necessarily factor into the formula that I just talked about, you do want to consider your percentage of returning customers, because that tends to be a low-hanging fruit when you're trying to pursue a higher revenue goal. And percentage of returning customers can also be found in your Shopify analytics dashboard. So benchmarks for returning customers will totally vary from company to company, but I would say most e-commerce businesses and the healthiest ones that I see in jewelry brands that I work with, they have about 25 to 30% returning customers. But that's with like really consistent relationship building marketing with their existing customer base. So that does not happen by accident by any means. And if you notice that your returning customer rate is significantly lower than 25%, I would say this is a low-hanging fruit place to start engaging your customers who already know, like, and trust you. And this is the most obvious group of people to market to when you are on the journey to trying to increase your revenue. So what did you think about that? I feel like you may need to rewind and re-listen to the episode a few times to fully let it sink in. But the main takeaways are that you need to familiarize yourself with your average order value, your conversion rate, your website traffic, and know crystal clear what that revenue goal is, and understand where to find those things and how they all influence and impact each other. I think that's the main thing I want you to really understand from this episode. And as I mentioned, next week, I'll get more into the specific tactics for manipulating all of those metrics. All right, let's get into the gold mine. The Goldmine is a segment of this podcast where I get personal and share insights on entrepreneurship, mindset, success, growth, and all things business. I get to share some topics close to my heart. So this week, I want to chat about something that might make us squirm just a little bit. The fact that sometimes we've got to let parts of our business just fall apart. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we need to let things break in order to build them back up stronger. It's kind of a cliche saying, you know, things have to fall down to like be built back up again in a better way, but it's so true in business. And this should especially hit home for all the creative jewelry entrepreneurs out there who like to keep things fresh. Maybe you get bored easily. If you feel comfortable or you get comfortable with breaking aspects of your business, that could really help keep things more interesting and inspiring for you. So you got to hear me out here. If you've been cruising on autopilot, you're not really seeing your business grow or change, everything's been feeling a little bit stale lately, that's probably a hint. It's time to shake things up and let some things crumble. And I'll throw in a personal story to make this more relatable, hopefully. So last year, in 2023, the second half of the year was really all about hitting pause on so many aspects of my business, mostly all the ideas that I have, so that I could dive headfirst into wedding planning for my September wedding. And if you've ever planned a wedding before, you know, despite your best, most organized efforts, that wedding planning just kind of puts everything else on pause. It eats up all your spare creativity and then some. And for that period of time, I had to just accept that, you know, business would run as usual. I had my systems in place, everything was running smoothly, but any experiments or new ideas or things I wanted to try, they were not happening, especially because right after my wedding started the crazy holiday rush for my clients, and taking care of my clients was way more important than trying all the new ideas that I had. But boy, let me tell you, I was bursting at the seams with ideas I wanted to try for Joy Joya. And at the end of every year, any year, I'm usually dreaming up my goals, dreaming up changes I want to make for the new year. But this time around in January, I felt like a dam had been broken because I had had to put all these ideas on pause and they suddenly came flooding out. If you talk to any of my team members, you'll know they would say they're used to me kind of stirring the pot, but I think this was a whole new level. And I like to think we kept the lid on some of the organized chaos because I know the limits of the team, but I definitely nudged us right up to the edge. And I was aware that as we were trying some of these new ideas, that things were going to break. And I had to embrace that. Thankfully, my clients were none the wiser. At least I hope so. I think we're pros at keeping those messy bits more internal. But oh my gosh, did we hit a learning curve on all the different things we were trying to roll out among the team members. And so adapting to all the new processes I had in mind, all of that has been one of the toughest growth spurts that I've ever had in my business. We've been revamping how we handle projects. We've been crafting standard operating procedures for new roles that I just hired for this year. And I think one of my team members really hit the nail on the head when they said it feels like we're building the plane while we're flying it. And yes, it's been tough, especially on me, because I've had to pick up all the slack and make sure that my team isn't suffering because I had a bunch of ideas I wanted to implement all at once. So what is keeping me going through the growing pains where it kind of feels like everything is constantly breaking while I'm trying to figure out this way of making it stronger again? Well, keeping that in mind is so important because when you're in it and it's hard and it feels like everything's going wrong and you're trying a lot of new things and making a lot of changes, it's tough to go through that. So you have to keep in mind your why and what the result is going to be in the end. So keeping the end goal in sight is what keeps me going, even if I have to burn the midnight oil for a little bit. And I would say, you know, again, if you are in this like stale spot in your business and you have a lot of ideas, but maybe you're unsure about change, or maybe you know it's going to be a little painful to implement some of your ideas, I get it. I would say flipping your business on its head and letting things break a little bit doesn't really sound too appealing, especially knowing it's going to be a little bit extra stress and a little bit extra work. But again, if you are feeling stuck, if you're feeling unhappy, or you're just not hitting the goals, the marks you set for yourself in your business, I think a little bit of discomfort is just part of the deal when you have a business. There's no two ways about it. And if you're in the thick of it right now and going through that transition and you need someone to talk to, let's chat it out because being a business owner can feel really lonely sometimes, especially when you're going through growth spurts, when you're having those growing pains. And keeping the faith is the hardest part. Keeping the faith that what you're doing, the changes that you're making, all the ideas you're trying to implement that probably won't be perfect right away, and you have to kind of be okay with that. That is so hard. That's a transition period that is, while inevitable, that doesn't make it any easier. It's just something you have to kind of grin and bear through and keep going until you get through to the other side. So what do you think? What have you been wanting to overhaul in your business, but maybe are a little afraid of that awkward period before things are figured out? Or maybe you're in it. Like I said, drop me a message via Instagram DM, leave a review on the podcast, or comment on the YouTube channel. I want to hear about it. Let's have some solidarity. Did you have any questions about today's episode? You can always email me Larissa, that's LARYSSA at joyjoya.com. If you love this podcast, please share it with a friend who'd appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe as well as leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're completely new to digital marketing, then you'll want to purchase and read a copy of my book, Jewelry Marketing Joy. Visit joyjoya.com/book for more information.